Presenting
The Complete
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
This is Orson Welles speaking from London.
As the third man.
Stand by.
We'll be on the air in 15 seconds, Mr. Welles.
Yes, I know.
Stand by, everybody.
Mercury Theater on the air presents Orson Welles as Count Dracula in his own version of Bram Stoker's great novel, Dracula.
What evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Hello, world. Welcome to The Complete Orson Welles, brought to you by Duane Oldtime Radio. This podcast will feature various classic radio programs ranging mostly from 1936 to 1952 that Orson either produced and directed, was featured on, or starred as a guest. If you enjoy my podcast, you can subscribe to receive notifications of new posts. Subscribing is free and only takes a moment. New episodes are posted weekly. If inclined, please leave a rating and or review on your preferred podcast service. Thank you for your support. Hope you enjoy The Genius of Mr. Welles. The great con man and mystery man Harry Lime returns. The great con man and mystery Harry Lime returns. Two episodes from Harry Lime. Mexican Hat Trick. November 2nd, 1951. That's the 14th episode. 15th episode. Art is long and Lime is fleeting. November 9th, 1951.
Presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character, originally created in the motion picture The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Karas.
That was the shot that killed Harry Lime. He died in a sewer beneath Vienna, as those of you know who saw the movie The Third Man. Yes, that was the end of Harry Lime. But it was not the beginning. Harry Lime had many lives, and I can recount all of them. How do I know? It's very simple. Because my name is Harry Lime. Me, I don't approve of gambling. At least not the legitimate kind. It's not so much the gambling I dislike. It's the losing I detest. Of course, all business entails a certain amount of risk. That's why insurance companies grow rich. I believe in insurance. That's why when I have to gamble, I always like to ensure that I'm on a sure thing. Some people have been rude enough to call this cheating, but they were prejudiced by being on the losing side. Like that time in Mexico City when I brought off what I like to call my Mexican hat trick.
And now, Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the third man in Mexican Hat Trick.
There is no human affliction worse than poverty. In Mexico City, I realized again that it's more painful when the disease occurs in the midst of plenty. Somehow, there'd always been enough to buy a drink for some poor, unsuspecting turista. You know the kind, too much money in his pocket, too much trust in his heart for a fellow American, a meal ticket for Harry Lime. But now, nothing. Harry Lime, soldier of many fortunes, good and bad, was down to his last borrowed cigarette, sitting in a crummy dive in a fourth-rate district of the city, checking a mental roster of friends, contacts, and local suckers.
Senor Harry.
Oh. Oh, hello, Diego. Just thinking about you, Diego. Sit down, old man.
Bueno.
What's your standard rate for 6 fast lessons in pocket picking?
Ah, mi amigo. I trade you favor for favor, eh? You know my friend Bolo Minoso?
Bolo, of course. King of the Mexico City dips, hmm? How's he doing?
He died this morning, Harry.
Oh, it's too bad, Diego. Anything I can do?
See, before he died, Bolo asked me to help him remove a great stain from his immortal soul.
You don't say.
He was afraid that when he entered the next world...
Look, Diego, you've come to the wrong man. I'm having troubles enough with this world.
Bolo gave me this note, Harry. He asked me to take it for him to the police.
Well, go to it, old man. I'm...
But the police... Could you not deliver this note
me
for me?
To the
yes?
police?
Yes.
Diego, remember, Bolo has entrusted it to you. Be a man. But face the issue. Straighten up. Shoulders back. Chest
I
out,
do
old
not
man.
Not jest, amigo. You could remove Bolo's stains more simply.
Oh,
I'm afraid...
All right, let me see this note.
See.
Hmm. I don't know why you should be so worried about... It's...
Okay?
Huh? Well, Diego, you've done a favor or two for me.
Yes.
I guess I'll take care of Bolo's for you.
Oh, amigo. Sure. Gracias, amigo, gracias. You will take it to the police, eh?
Don't worry about a thing, old man. No, I'll take care of the note. When I managed to get rid of the grateful Diego, I sat down and studied this little note more carefully. 17 years ago, the note explained, in the little Mexican town of León, Bolo Minoso had killed a man. This note was his confession, a complete account of how he'd permitted an innocent man, somebody named Vicente Coelho, to be accused of this murder. It explained that Bolo had hidden signed affidavits proving Coelho's innocence somewhere in León. Just where in León, he neglected to say. The police would be interested in this confession, of course, but then it seemed to me that the Coelho family might have a greater concern. So I decided to investigate the financial aspects of the family interest.
Buenos días, señora.
Buenos días, señora. ¿Es usted señora Coelho?
Sí. This is my daughter, Alicia, señora.
I'm encantado. I'm delighted. Señora, this document concerns your husband.
My husband?
Vicente Coelho. He was your husband.
Yes, but Vicente is dead. Bendito
Señora,
sea,
señora, how long has it been since his death, I mean?
We do not know. Not for certain.
It has been a long time.
Yes, well, you needn't be delicate on my account, Senora. I know.
No?
Senora, I know that your father was accused of murdering a man in León 17 years ago.
He did not. Vicente would not hurt anyone.
I know, but...
He was not a criminal.
The police didn't share that view. When he escaped from prison before his trial, it seemed to cinch the case against him, right?
Okay.
It made the authorities even more certain of his guilt.
But he had to escape. There was no hope without the papers.
Yes, yes, I know.
You seem to know so much, Mr. Lyme.
I know what you know, Senorita. Those papers were the evidence that could have saved your father, and they were stolen.
This does not help us.
We have searched for 17 years for some kind of evidence that would have cleared the name of my husband. We have spent thousands of pesos.
What if you found that evidence now, Senora?
Oh, por Dios. If we only could...
Senora, Senorita, those papers... They were affidavits proving absolutely that your husband was nowhere near the scene of the crime when it occurred.
They were? How do you know this?
I have the word of the man who stole them.
You have? Alicia, he knows.
Where is this man, Mr. Lyme? We must see him immediately.
I'm afraid it's too late for that. He's dead, you see.
Dead? Then it has been for nothing.
Why do you come to us now?
Oh, there's always hope, Senorita. I have his confession that he was the murderer. I can prove your father's innocence.
You can? Mama, you hear?
Sí, I knew that someday... Madre de Dios, gracias.
We must go to the police.
Yes,
you can tell them.
I'm afraid not the police.
You won't go?
Well, this deathbed confession, I'm afraid it isn't enough.
Then what?
The affidavit, Senorita. I know where they can be found. That is the approximate location.
The same affidavit?
Yes.
After 17
they
years?
They still exist. With a little searching, I can produce them.
Then you must get them for us. We will do anything,
Senora,
anything.
There's nothing. I'd rather do more. I'd like very much to help you clear the Coelho name, but... Well, I can't leave immediately. It'll take time, 6 months or so. And
six
then, yes,
months?
Possibly a year. Depends on business, of course. I do have certain commitments here in Mexico City, you see.
But, Mr. Lyme,
I'm
a year...
I'm sorry, it'd mean losing quite a bit of income. I'm afraid 6 months anywhere.
No.
Like...
No, you must help us now, Mama.
Senor, we do not want you to lose any income for our sake. If you help us, we will pay what money you would lose.
Well, I'm grateful, Senor, but really I hesitate. You see, my income is not small, something around 100,000 pesos for 6 months.
We will give you 200,000 pesos.
200,000.
Senor Lime, our money is yours. We will pay anything. You will not be sorry.
I'm sure of that. Take back your gold. Gold will never buy me. Won't it, though? Take back your gold. Take back your... Come in.
Buenos dias, Senor Lime.
Senorita.
May I come in?
Of course. Come right on in.
Yeah. I see you are preparing for your journey.
Yes, sorry, I can't offer you a decent chair. Take this one.
It is all right. I will stand.
How'd you ever find me here?
It was not difficult. You are well known, it seems.
Oh? Checking up on me, huh?
You might say the Coelhos are cautious people, Mr. Lime. Mm. My mother thought it best.
Please,
that...
Senorita, I should be making the apologies.
Mr. Lime, forgive me for saying this, but for a man with business affairs such as yours, you live so...
So modestly?
Hmm? Si.
Not at all. Note the spider web over there, Senorita. A genuine antique. 15th century. The spider is a direct descendant of Cortez.
I am sorry, Mr. Lime. Bad looks spares no one, it seems.
You've had your share, Alicia. I've had mine, but it really makes little difference. We can help each other now, and that's what's really important, isn't it?
Si.
Let me pour you a drink. Good stuff. A pickpocket friend of mine borrowed it from an American tourist.
No, thank you. You are so gay, Mr. Lime.
Harry.
Si, Harry, I...
Say, you know what I think? I think something's bothering you. What is it, the spider web, the saggy chair?
Hmm? Harry, I would like to go to Leon with you.
Now, just a minute, young lady.
I have the car. You will need an interpreter, perhaps, in Leon.
Well, I've heard it's a lonely town.
Yes, Harry, it is.
Well, don't just stand there, woman. Go on home and pack.
No need to, senor. My luggage is downstairs in the car.
We got our first glimpse of Leon from a hill behind the city. Quiet little mountain town, quite incapable of coping with giddy tourists on expense accounts. As we entered Leon, I wondered what murder had to do with a place like this.
Bueno, Harry. You have taken us directly to the town plaza.
Couldn't miss. Only one road into town. That a hotel over there?
It is the hotel.
Mm-hmm. And that must be the town's official greeter. Hmm? Out you go.
Gracias.
Good
to stretch.
Un tostón nada más.
He says he will watch the car, Harry.
It's official greeter, all right. One or a hundred in every Mexican town.
His mother is ill, he says. His family is dying of hunger.
Sure.
Give him something, Harry.
Looks like the greeter was just sent into retirement.
Buenos días, señor. Buenos días, señora. Welcome to León. You will be happy with us in this hotel. Your bag, señor.
Gracias.
Come, I have a beautiful room for you. Una habitación muy bonita. Señor y señora will be...
Un momento.
Sí, señora.
Dos.
Dos habitaciones, señora.
Señorita.
Señorita, sí, sí. Bueno, pues dos habitaciones.
We followed the officious little hotel manager across a tile lobby and up rickety stairs.
And many centuries before this, my hotel was the home of one of the Spanish conquistadors.
Those are our rooms down there.
You see, there is much romance.
Very
in this
interesting,
building.
Yes.
Over there, you see.
Senor, what bell is that we hear?
Bell? The bell, sí. This is the famous church bell of León.
Famous?
It bears a long and tragic story, senorita. Every hour it tolls to remind us of the sins.
Look,
of
old
the...
man, some other time, if you don't mind.
Sí, señor, pero.
Here you are. For you.
Muchas gracias, señor. Muchas gracias.
Nada. Well, young lady, what do you say we wash up first and then start the big search for the affidavit?
Harry, it seems so difficult. Where does one begin?
Oh, with Bolo, of course. Find his trail. We find the papers. Let's go.
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as the third man. Now, Orson Welles as the third man continues with Mexican Hat Trick.
Leon was even sleepier than most Mexican towns. Only the bell disturbed it. After the midday siesta, when you'd expect things to come to life, everything just went on sleeping as before. Good for the nerves, of course. Unless you were trying to wake up a memory 17 years old.
Perhaps he will know this man.
Let's hope so. I'm a little tired of asking. You speak English?
Oh, sí, I speak good English.
I want some information. Información.
¿Qué información,
señor? You desire...
Nunca ha conocido un hombre que se llama Voluminoso.
¿Voluminoso?
Sí, vivía aquí hace muchos años.
No, señorita, no le conozco.
I understood that. Okay.
What now, Harry?
Another bar. Gracias, amigo. One bar after another, one cafe after another. We made them all. We hit cockfight rings, the viejos on the street, everyone in every place where there might be a clue, something to point us in the direction of those affidavits.
Did you find anything, Harry?
Nothing, nothing. Tough John.
Well, perhaps we are making a mistake. What about my father?
Hmm?
It would be easier to find someone who remembers him. We can start from there.
Part of your mind, mention your father's name. Just mention it around here. You have not only the police down on us, we'll have every chief confidence man in Mexico on our hands, trying to find out what we want.
But we have to start somewhere.
And we have to rest somewhere, too. My feet are killing me. Let's go back to the hotel.
Harry, it is not right for me to be
what?
In your room.
What? Oh, for the... Come on. There's no time to worry about proprieties.
But it is not...
Oh, we're both tired. We've got to rest. We might as well talk while we're doing it. Go on. I'll order up a couple of drinks. Hey, Alicia, listen, there's not to cry about.
I am sorry. I cannot help you.
Come here. Come on.
Oh, you should not kiss me.
Oh, I'd be pretty silly if I didn't.
Harry, please, no.
You're a great kid, Alicia.
Oh, Harry.
You know what? I kind of hope this search of ours isn't too successful. Too soon. Things were considerably more bearable during the next few days. The warm Mexican evenings and Alicia. But during the days, long, tedious days, we searched and searched and searched and we found nothing. After one of our better evenings together, I left Alicia at her door and headed for my room. When I opened the door, there was a surprise waiting for me. I had a guest, the weazened old beggar who'd been the first to greet us on our arrival in León. This time, his greeting was a little violent. Hey!
Tim!
Hey, why you?
Maria!
No, you don't!
You try to kill me.
Well, you try to kill me. I die. What are you doing here? Come on, what do you want? Panhandle business falling off, robbing hotel rooms now? Well, we'll see what the police have to say about it.
No, not the police.
Okay, let's have it. What's it all about?
You come to kill me.
What are you babbling about? Who wants to kill you?
Bolo, you look for Bolo. You come to kill
Bolo?
Me.
Bolo? What's he got to do with it? Hey, come back here. Bolo?
Bolo?
Vicente Coelho. The beggar, the flea-bitten old car-watching beggar. This was Alicia's father. Buried in the dust of police records, rumors, and memory, but after all these years, still alive. And those affidavits proving his innocence of the murder, they'd be twice as valuable to the living as they were to the dead. His family would certainly be willing to pay much more for them now, unless, of course, Coelho found them first. Obviously, that's why he was in León. I had to get my hands on those papers before he did. And before Alicia realized her father was still alive. Yes?
Harry, I thought we could go. Harry!
It's okay. Come in. Close the door.
What happened?
I had a little argument with destiny, honey. I won.
Your clothes?
Yeah.
They're all torn in your face. Oh, Harry.
Nothing I can't wash off with soap and water.
But
Alicia,
what was it?
The old beggar. He must have been after my money. He tried to kill me when I caught him at it.
Oh, Harry, you must be careful.
No, you're the one who's got to be careful. Stay away from him. No telling what he's up to now. Might try to get back at me by hurting you.
Then we must go to the police.
No. I don't want to talk to the police now. Not until we can clear your father.
And then what?
I'll handle him myself.
You just stay close to me from now on. I had to find those blasted papers quickly now. But how? Where? Was Coelho any closer to them than I? How could I keep Alicia from learning that her father was alive? Add to these nagging thoughts the incessant clanging of that church bell just outside my window. You can well understand my reaction to the hotel manager's typical good morning greeting.
Ah, buenos dias, senor.
Yeah, buenos dias. I did not sleep well.
Oh, senor, your bed is not comfortable. I will see to it.
Where's Alicia?
In?
The senorita. Has she come down yet?
Ah, the senorita, she's at the church.
Church?
Si, senor. This is a great holiday in our city. At midnight, the bell begins to toll and does not stop until the sun sets tonight.
You mean to tell me it's going to keep up that racket till sundown, that horrible clankety-clank?
This clank, senor, it is the will of the Lord.
Yeah, well, I need some coffee.
Our punishment, senor. We atone on this day for the great sin of Leon.
The great sin of Leon. That must have been a whopper.
A terrible sin, senor. On this day, 17 years ago, a good man was killed in Leon.
Mm.
For this, the Lord removed the music from the
bell. Wait a minute. What happened 17 years ago?
There was murder in our city.
And the bell?
A miracle, senor. On this
Never
day,
mind
we...
the bell. What's it got to do with the murder?
Please, senor, do not shout.
Will you please, por favor, get the blasted point?
Senor, you must hear me. This bell was once of glorious musical tone.
Yes,
then
but...
there came this terrible scene, this killing.
Go on.
One of the men of Leon was taken by the police for this murder. Then there occurred this miracle.
What miracle?
The music left the tone of the bell, and this man was never seen again.
Wait a minute. It changed its tone overnight, huh? Before the man was brought to trial?
The will of the Lord, senor. Our punishment for permitting violent death in our city. Each year on this day, we pray that the music be restored to our bell. You say you wish coffee, senor?
No, not now. When the senorita returns, tell her to see me. Pronto. Right away. It's too late.
But, Harry, it is too fantastic.
Oh, sure, it's fantastic. Bells don't change their tone the way you and I change our clothes. There's got to be a reason for it, a practical, fundamental, tangible reason. Now, look this note.
Okay?
Bolo's note. Here, he admits it right here. He stole the evidence that would have cleared your father. He says he hid it right here in Leon.
Well, why did he not destroy it immediately?
Who knows? Maybe he intended to confess sooner or later. Murderers are seldom logical people, but look. Now we learn that just before your father escaped from the police, the tone of this bell suddenly, mysteriously, miraculously changed from a melodious ring to that clank we hear out there. Listen to it, Alicia, listen. What makes a bell sound like that?
I do not know, Harry. It may be. I do not know.
Well, neither do I, but tonight I'm going to find out. And you're going to help. It was midnight before the streets were empty. Alicia and I entered the little church and climbed up the ancient flight of stairs to the campanile. Quiet now. Quiet,
how will you get to the bell? The steps do not go that high.
We'll have to use the bell pull.
It will make so much noise.
Yeah,
I know. Stop the bell to ring.
Won't make much difference once we get what we're after. Here we are.
Can you reach it?
Got it. Stay here. The padre shows up, let me know. I'll make it as fast as I can.
Be careful, Harry.
Mm.
Do not hurt yourself.
I'll be okay.
Harry, I love you.
Mm?
This is for good luck.
That did it.
Harry!
I climbed up hand over hand. I don't know how far. 10 feet, maybe 15 or 20. It wasn't easy. The bell made a horrible racket over me, and the sound grew in waves as I approached it, making me dizzier and dizzier until I almost let go. But finally... there was no more rope. My hand touched the inside of the bell, and it stopped ringing. The old lime confidence was at a cockeyed angle and slipping away fast when I suddenly grabbed for the clapper and found what I wanted. A heavy oilskin wrapper tied around it, a couple of 100,000 pesos worth of missing affidavits. One good tug pulled it away, and I stuffed it in my shirt front. Alicia! The rope burned chunks of flesh right out of my hands as I slid down. Below me, I saw another figure struggling with Alicia, trying to get past her. The two of them were wrestling on the narrow ledge at the top of the steps leading to the bell tower. I caught one moonlit glimpse of their faces as I swung onto the ledge. It was the beggar, Coelho. Alicia's father.
Harry!
Demasiere, I kill you!
Before I could reach him, she got one arm free and hit him as hard as she could. Then she shoved. And he went over.
Oh.
Alicia! Alicia!
Harry! Oh, Harry, he tried to kill me.
Oh, it's
tried
all right. It's all right, honey. It's all right.
I killed him. It was not my fault.
No, you didn't,
him.
Kid. Look, he's getting up. He's all right.
I am glad.
Come on, Alicia. Let's go down. After all, we got what we came for.
Harry Lime returns in just a moment.
As far as the authorities were concerned, Coelho was a nameless beggar who'd gone and blown his top. They locked him up, of course, but said he'd be released later on. I was the one person who could identify him, the one person who could return him to his family. But why interfere? Let the old man figure it out for himself. If he wanted to remain the unknown beggar for the rest of his days, that was his business. Probably everybody'd be happier the way things were, particularly Alicia. She was all that really worried me. I went out into the little plaza to think it over. Day was breaking. The birds were waking up. A little cantina was still open. I went in and sat down at a greasy little table and had myself a couple of tequillas. Then I borrowed a few sheets of notepaper and wrote this. Alicia, my darling, I'm writing this in a great rush because I want to be gone from Leon before you're awake. I'm doing it this way because I'm afraid if I saw you again, I wouldn't know how to go, and I've got to. No matter what, I can't. I mustn't stay on here in Mexico with you. I hope you find somebody you deserve, but I doubt it. Anyway, here's wishing you happiness. Adios. And as for my fee, you can pay it to a man called Diego, who called at your house. Again, adios. Yours, Harry Lime.
presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character originally created in the motion picture The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Karas.
I won't burden you with the sordid details about how I met two very lovely Brazilian women named Inez and Aurora. They were very rich. They were in Paris on a buying spree, and the three of us became inseparable friends in very short order. I told them I was a dealer in masterpieces of famous painters. They were most eager to see my collection. So I began to browse around old antique shops, looking for something to sell them.
Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the Third Man, in today's story, Art is Long and Lime is Fleeting.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour.
Please, can I help you?
I'll just look around, thanks.
Of course, if you tell me what you are looking for.
I'm looking for a painting, an impressionist school, perhaps. I have a few
oils. This way, please.
Here they are. They are very cheap.
Yeah, not very good either.
I have one that is a little more expensive. If you would step this way.
Huh?
Now, this one is very good.
It was a picture of a bather. And in a dark light, and from a considerable distance, it might look a little like a Renoir. I looked the picture over carefully to see if it had a signature on it, but luckily enough, there wasn't any inscription.
A charming painting.
Now, who painted it?
It is hard to say.
Looks just a little bit like a Renoir, doesn't
well,
it? Yes. How much is it?
10,000 francs.
I'm sorry, old man. That's robbery.
It is a very fine painting, and as you say, it looks a little bit like a
Renoir. Here's what I'll do. I'll give you another 1,000 francs, and you put the picture in the heavy old gold frame there hanging on the wall.
Oh, no, monsieur. That frame cost much more
than
a picture.
Okay. 12,000 francs. No more bargaining. Is the deal?
All right.
I'll wait for it now.
I know you will appreciate it.
I expect someone else to appreciate it far more than I. I took a suite at the elegant George Sank Hotel and hung the picture on the wall with a tiny spotlight over it. Underneath, I had a small brass plaque which read simply, Renoir. Then I invited Inez and Aurora to have cocktails with me in my suite.
That was a very funny story, Monsieur Harry.
My dear Inez, it's true, every word of it.
I do not believe it. You make it up to keep us in smiles.
I'd do anything to keep you both in smiles, as you put it.
You're very charming to us, Harry. I am most enthusiastic to see the painting.
We'll get to Mr. Renoir by and by. How about another drink?
Not for me, one is enough. Me for two. I mean, two for me. I am mixed up.
I understand you perfectly. Here is me for two.
Shall we not see the picture now?
All right. Step this way, lovely Inez. Beautiful Aurora.
Thank you for your compliment.
Oh, I don't compliment you. I merely told the truth.
It is over dark in here.
I'll put the light on in a minute. I'd like you to stand here as the best distance.
Oh, it is so exciting to me to see a real Renoir.
Mm. It's exciting to me every time I look at it. Now I'll switch on the overhead light. Magnificent, isn't it, Inez?
Oh, it is beautiful.
I've looked at this picture 1,000 times. Just can't part with it. Look at the form of the bather, so chaste, so full of feeling. See how the master subjugates detail and form.
Much do you want for this painting, Harry?
I don't think I want to sell it.
Oh, you said you would. You are your mind changing?
Well, it's true. I need the money, but, well, you understand. It's the one beautiful thing in my life.
But you are a dealer. You must not go backwards on your word.
Let me think about it. There's no hurry, after all.
But we must have
Let's have lunch tomorrow. We'll decide then.
If you do decide, how much do you want for it?
Oh, I'd never sell it under 4 million francs.
4 million?
Too much money for you and too hard for me to part with it, so we'll just remain friends, shall we?
I do not care how much money. I must buy it.
We'll meet tomorrow at the usual place for lunch and talk it over. In the meantime, you think about it, and I'll think about it.
All right, Harry. 1:30 tomorrow.
Good. I'll be there. They left a few minutes later. It was working out fine. They were on the hook. All I had to do was to carefully reel them in. Then came a knock on the door. Yes?
Hello, Harry.
Paul Bazin.
So, you still remember me? I thought you would have forgotten me by now.
I never forget old friends. We used to be partners, old man.
A partner, eh?
That's right.
Well, they hustled me into jail. You hustled off to the Riviera with all the money.
It was an accident of fate. I was awful sorry you were caught, old man. There's nothing I could do.
You're going to have an accident too, Harry.
I don't do anything foolish. What good will it do you to shoot me?
You have no idea how much good it will do me.
Nothing.
Like water to a thirsty man. I've been waiting for 2 years in a Luxembourg prison for this.
Listen, old man, they guillotine people here in France for committing murder.
If they catch them.
Look, if you put the gun down, I'll tell you about a little deal that's coming off tomorrow. I'll cut you in on it.
I'm not interested.
Your share will be 2 million francs in cold cash.
Right. 2 million.
2 million. Put the gun down. I'll tell you about it.
You'll talk better this way. Talk fast. Maybe I'll be interested.
You see those two women coming out of my suite?
I saw them.
Well, they think this is a Renoir hanging on the wall. See over there? You're going to give me 4 million francs for it.
And you are going to give me half out of sheer generosity?
No, not out of generosity. You can help me. Besides, you have some money coming to you.
I'm going to get it, too.
A very rich Brazilian, ladies. And tomorrow at lunch, we're going to clinch the deal. I want you to be a friend of mine, you know, an art dealer.
I don't know anything about paintings.
Doesn't matter. Neither do they. Is it a deal?
How do I know you're telling me the truth?
Well, I'm afraid you just have to take my word, old man. I don't know how to prove it to you. Till tomorrow at noon.
I'll phone the women.
They're not at their hotel yet.
I'll wait. I'll be asking for 3 million out of the 4.
Very good idea. How about a drink, Paul?
No.
Well, I hate to drink alone. However, I shall have myself a small one. We waited an hour until Inez and Aurora returned to their hotel. Paul was satisfied that I told him the truth, and he finally left me. Until lunch tomorrow. I began to think of a plan to get rid of this fellow. Can't stand people who hold grudges for years. It's a sign of immaturity. We met at lunch as scheduled.
Mr. Bazin, what is your opinion of impressionist painting? How does it compare with the modern?
Well, I think it's very different.
Mr. Bazin does not particularly like modern art. He hates to talk about it. As a matter of fact, he's against any form of art that isn't immediately comprehensible to everyone.
Yes, I feel very strong about it.
Me also. Abstracts are to me crazy painting.
Yes, I think so,
How
too.
How about another cup of coffee?
No, thank you. Let us talk about the Renoir.
Yes. By the way, when are you two lovely women leaving Paris?
We do not know. Maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month.
Oh, it's hard to leave this city. Chance everybody.
We have decided to pay you 4 million francs.
Oh, did you? Well, we'll think about it some more, shall we?
But that is the price of which you gave us.
Yes.
Oh, I am getting all mixed up again.
You haven't changed your mind, Harry.
Well, not exactly. Let's give it another few days. You're going to be in Paris a few weeks. There's no hurry.
You don't want to sell it?
Well, I do. That is, I must. But you see, after I left, I had an offer from the Fontaine Galleries. About 5 million. I'm very embarrassed by it. I don't like this kind of business.
Really. But you said yes to 4 million yesterday.
I didn't make a promise. I said I might sell it for 4. You must understand, I'm a businessman. I must sell it to the highest bidder, after all. Why don't you forget the Renoir? I'll be glad to show you other paintings. Very fine. Famous artist for much less money.
We will give you the request you ask.
Well, it's worth much more, I assure you. How do you feel about it, Inez?
We will buy it for 5.
If you can afford it, I think you're making a wise investment.
I'll write a check for you right now. Give me the checkbook, Aurora.
If you don't mind, I'd rather have it in cash.
Why?
Well, I have some very urgent bills to pay. It'd take a week or so to clear through the bank. I can wait until this evening. You can get the check cashed at your bank. We can meet for dinner. We'll have a real big celebration,
A party.
Yes.
You will be guest to us.
Oh, no. You're my guest, please.
You come too, Monsieur Bezin?
With pleasure, mademoiselle.
Where shall we meet? Shall we go to my favorite restaurant, Tour d'Argent?
I know where it is.
Oh, it's one of the best in Paris. Now, I must go. Garçon, addition. I was quite pleased with the way things were going. My only regret would be that I would have to leave Paris, have to leave Aurora. Beginning to get rather too fond of Aurora. She was my type, beautiful, not too encumbered with brains, but she had lots of spirit and exuberance. And as they say in France, as a fair son, as a fair. I had one real problem, to get rid of Bezin. And he stuck close to me, like a tree to the earth.
I'm going back to the hotel with you.
Okay, if you want, old man.
I want.
Might be better if you went home and packed. We're going to have to leave Paris in a hurry.
I am staying with you until after dinner.
You're a very suspicious fellow, Paul.
I trust you as far as I can move the Eiffel Tower.
You don't have to trust me. We're all meeting for dinner at Tour d'Argent. The restaurant can't run away, can it?
But if you double-cross me...
It's impossible, Paul. All you have to do is show up at the restaurant.
Well,
pack all your stuff and pick me up at the hotel. We'll go down together,
All right.
Okay.
But if you try to do any tricks, Harry, I'll swear I'll hunt you down and I'll kill you.
Now,
I mean it.
I know you're a very sincere fellow. Meet me at 5 o'clock in my suite.
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as the third man. Orson Welles, as the third man, continues with today's story, Art is Long and Lime is Fleeting.
I had to work fast now that I was rid of Bazin. I hurried to my hotel and began to pack my clothes, and I telephoned my two Brazilian customers.
Hello?
This is Harry.
Oh, Harry. You have your mind not changed.
No. I just learned that the Tour d'Argent is closed tonight.
Then we shall someplace else go, no?
Of course. There's a superb Italian restaurant called the Casa Bellini. Write the address down, will you?
I have a pen.
Good. It's 43 Rue Victoire. I made a reservation for it, 7:30.
We will be...
Tell Inez I'm sorry about the change.
Oh, it is very nothing.
I suppose she's gone to the bank, hasn't she?
Yes.
That's good.
She will be back soon.
What makes you so happy?
Inez says I have for you much liking.
And is it true?
Yes, Harry.
True for me, too, Aurora. I think you're the most charming woman in all of Paris.
You are to me, too. Oh, I get mixed up again.
I know you and I are going to be the very best of friends. See you tonight, honey.
Tonight, chérie.
I packed quietly, wrapped up the painting, and got ready to leave. The sooner I left my suite, the better. Hunch that Bazin would change his mind. Come early. Yes? Hello, Paul.
You are about to leave?
Well, I was just going down to pay my bill, as a matter of fact.
You lied.
You know, you're getting me awfully unpleasant, Paul, old man.
You are getting up to something.
I am getting up to 5 million francs for this little package here.
I think you were trying to run away. I think I came just in time.
You're not thinking. No matter where I ran, I'd still have to be at the Tour d'Argent at 7:30.
Where were you going when I came into the room?
I told you I was going downstairs to pay my bill. You're being very dull, Paul.
You don't fool me.
I think you better come along,
We'll go down together in a little while.
Now, look here, Paul. We have 3 hours until we go to the Tour d'Argent. You're not going to stand there with a gun in your pocket all afternoon.
That is exactly what I am going to do.
Well, I have to go to the bank, arrange for my plane ticket. You're being Well, you're being quite a bore, old man.
You never had money in the bank in your life.
So happens that you are cruelly wrong.
Show me your bank book.
It's downstairs in the hotel safe with all my other valuables.
You are lying.
A partnership based on suspicion and mistrust can never be successful, old man. Really.
We are going to be Siamese twins for the next few hours. It's no use arguing with me.
Well, if that's your decision, you might as well sit down. You'll get very tired standing up there for 3 hours.
You worry about me a lot, don't you?
I was brought up very carefully. It's ingrained in me to be a hospitable host. Now, I'm glad you're taking my advice. I'd like some refreshments. A drink, perhaps?
No.
Just want to sit,
That's right, just sit.
Well, don't doze off now.
You think you're funny.
No point in being grim about it. How about some cards?
No.
I have a set of dice somewhere just to while away the time.
I don't want to do anything.
You just want to sit.
That's right.
I couldn't catch him off guard. He sat in the chair and kept beady eyes on me. I don't mind people staring at me, but Bazin had a gun. When he discovered my defection, he would become peeved, I thought. And that gun might go off. He just sat there for a long time, and then even he became bored, just sitting. Tilted his chair against the wall, rocking himself back and forth. The pressure of his toes against the floor. A sudden kick on the back legs of the chair when he was tilted would certainly give me an advantage. As he fell backwards, I hurled myself at him, pinioning his arms. He managed to get the gun out of his pocket, but I rolled the chair over his arm and he let go of the gun. I seized the gun and placed it against the back of his head with a good deal of force. The fight was over in less than a minute. He lay there quietly. I figured he'd be out for an hour at least. Yes. Mr. Bazin was out of the picture.
Forgive us for being late, Harry.
Oh, please.
It was the fault of me. I took too much time to seem beautiful.
You don't seem beautiful. You are, both of you.
Monsieur Bazin is not coming.
He won't be here. He wanted to come very much, but he was suddenly taken ill.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes, he'll be all right, I think.
I am much hungry. You make this election for us. We do not know the French word.
Oh, I'd be delighted. Perhaps we better settle our business first, though. Business before pleasure, you know.
Oh, let's eat first. There's no hurry. We have all the night.
I didn't like this. They didn't seem to be so eager for the painting as they were at lunch. Maybe they were only hungry. Maybe. I didn't like their attitude at all. How do you like your pêche Melba, Aurora?
It is superbly. It will make me fat, and then you will not like me anymore.
It'll make you fat, and I will adore you even more, darling.
We must thank you for a very fine dinner. Wow. The best we eat in Paris.
I'm very pleased that you're pleased. And now that we've eaten, shall we finish our business? You know, the Renoir is all wrapped up.
Oh, hurry. We haven't had our brandy yet.
But we can negotiate while we wait for the brandy,
Oh, you Americanos, so impatient. I Americanos like very much. Impatience in men is very nice.
It's a custom in our country to get our business over with first. Very droll in that respect. Then we can all relax and enjoy ourselves, shall we?
Oh, Harry, you do not say a word all evening about my frock, the which I wear for you especially.
It's a beautiful dress, perfectly beautiful. I must say that if you've changed your mind about the painting, it's perfectly all right. You don't have to be embarrassed.
Oh, no, Harry. We have not changed our mind. Good. Let's have the brandy and then we settle the business.
Okay, okay. Garçon? There was definitely something wrong. They were obviously stalling. But stalling for what? I was getting very uneasy. The waiter brought the cognac and they sipped it a drop at a time. For 15 minutes, they dawdled over it. I decided not to wait any longer. I forced the issue.
Tell us something about yourself, Harry. Oh. About America, I mean, when you lived
really,
there.
Really, there's nothing much to tell. I grew up like any average American boy. I got interested in art, but I learned soon enough that I'd never be a good painter.
You were an artist?
Well, not much of one. Now, if you'll forgive me for bringing this up again, I will give you the painting in exchange for 5 million francs. I'm afraid that we'll have to do it now or not at all.
But Harry...
I mean it, Inez.
All right.
We'll all feel better once it's done.
Well, here's the money. You can count it.
Oh, I trust you. Oh, please, I won't even open the envelope. And here's your Renoir. I hope you'll enjoy it as I have.
We will.
Mademoiselle, oh, I am sorry. I am late. I just couldn't get away.
Oh, Monsieur Bordet, this is a Harry Lime.
Now, how do you do?
I am pleased to meet you.
Monsieur Bordet is an expert on Renoir's painting. He's from the Louvre Museum.
Oh, the Louvre. Mm-hmm. Now, if you'll just excuse me
just
for a minute,
Monsieur Lime. I have got to leave. I'll just take a quick look. Please sit down.
I'll unwrap it.
I began to figure the distance to the door. Looked like this might be one of the times to run and fight another day. Monsieur Bordet motioned the gendarme who'd evidently accompanied him to come into the room, close the door. Well, I took care of that. I just have to bluff it out. The expert slowly unrolled the picture, held it this way and that.
How much did you agree to pay this man, mademoiselle?
5 million francs, monsieur. Is it too much?
Too much or not enough?
I don't like your tone. Just what do you mean by that, sir?
The light in here is too dim for me to make a definite opinion, but it could be a Renoir. There is a painting of his with this same general composition. The figure is not bad. The colors like his.
You think it is a real Renoir?
I was sure it was all right.
I would like to take it with me and examine it more thoroughly. But I can see this. If it is a Renoir, it is worth 20 million francs.
20 million?
Qu'est-ce qui arrive,
hein? Monsieur.
Oh, de quoi s'agit-il, hein?
You are not going to arrest anybody. Keep your hands high.
Here, better do as he says. He looks dangerous.
So the picture's worth 20 million, eh? I'll take it with me.
Just a
now stay as you are or you'll get a bullet. And don't follow me.
Bazin grabbed the picture and ran. Talk about a break. With the gendarme, the girls and Bordet, I ran after him, yelling, "Stop, thief! Stop, thief, thief!" All the time blessing myself for not having tied him as securely as I thought I had. All I had to do was to follow him away and then get lost. As I tore along in his wake, I noticed a couple of street Arabs huddled around a small fire. They scattered in panic. I sprinted, tackled. He hit the sidewalk. The picture flew out of his hand. I shoved it into the fire. "I've caught you, you rogue. Now I'll teach you to steal, thief."
"Let me go."
"No, no, monsieur, no, no. Do not attack him. We will take care of him. It is not wise to meet a police officer at Paris."
"I'll kill you for this, Lime.
I'm afraid all you'll do for a while is a nice stretch in the Bastille, my friend. Take him away."
"Come along, mon petit. I think we walk to the station. I have a few suggestions to make to you on the way."
"My wonderful
Harry.
Goodbye,
old man.
You have the bandit captured.
Yes.
You are so brave, so wonderful."
"Oh, you are not hurt. You are all right."
"Wonderful action, Monsieur Lime. An heroic deed. But where is the picture?"
"The picture? The picture, it must be right here. It flew out of his hand when I tackled him. Oh,
the picture, it is burning. It will be destroyed."
"Get it, Harry, it is burning."
"I'll get it. I'm afraid it's completely gone."
"Oh."
Of course, I made sure the picture was burned. I managed to grab a corner of it, but I had to drop it back into the flames. What a pity. The girls in Bordet were very concerned over my hand, but what's a few burns compared to a term in the local housgar on 5 million francs, not to mention getting rid of Bazin. Bordet and I saw the girls home, and then after making a date for the next evening with Aurora, I offered to drop him at the Louvre, where he still had to make his report.
"There is only one thing remaining to say, Monsieur Lai."
"Yes, what is that?"
"I would not want you to think that I am such a bad expert that I really had any doubts about the picture."
"You mean that it was an original?"
"No, I mean that it was not."
"Oh, I see. Well, how much do you want, Bordet?"
"Nothing."
"Nothing? I don't get it."
"Monsieur Lai, if I had everyone arrested who tries to sell a fake picture, the prisons of Paris would be full. I wanted only to give you a chance to get away without embarrassment. I hope this will be a lesson to you and that you won't try it again."
"Monsieur Bordet, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your courtesy. You're a wonderful fellow. And I must tell you, I want you to know what an inspiration people like you are to people like me."
Harry Lime returns in just a moment. Now, Harry Lime.
Let's face it, friends, the world is very generously populated with mugs. Millions and millions of mugs just waiting like the proverbial sheep for the proverbial fleecing. In fact, if they weren't shorn from time to time, they wouldn't be comfortable. It always makes me laugh to read that one of the mugs was an innocent victim of a confidence game. Now, just how innocent, I ask you. If you want a path beaten to your door, don't waste your energy inventing a better mousetrap. No, just hang a sign out, scarce items at prices you want to pay. However, till we meet again, look after yourselves. And remember, if you don't, no one else will.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing.